27, which is the record of sort of towards the end of Paul's life and ministry, when he is on his way to Jerusalem, to Rome, to stand trial in front of Caesar. He was arrested, he was a prisoner, because of the gospel. He wasn't a criminal, but he broke their laws, I guess. And so he was put on a boat with a whole lot of other prisoners, and they were off from Jerusalem to Rome. And we're going to work through a bit of this passage, so if you can look it up, if you have a Bible or on your phone, Acts 27, I won't read every verse, but we'll just touch on things, because I've learnt a few things just by reading this story. So in verse 1 it says, "When the time came, we set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the Imperial Regiment." And then I'm going to skip to verse 4. "Putting out to sea from there, we encountered strong headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course." And immediately it says to me how easy it is to drift off course when we're being battered by the wind and the waves and, you know, we lose our focus because we're pulled aside by stuff. So this is a lesson for us, isn't it? Do we find it hard to stay on track sometimes because of the circumstances that we're in? "So we sailed north of Cyprus between the island and the mainland. Keeping to the open sea, we passed along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, landing at Myra in the province of Lycia." There's a few names in this passage. "There the commanding officer found an Egyptian ship from Alexandria that was bound for Italy, and he put us on board." It says we had several days of slow sailing. Do you ever feel like we're just sort of not getting anywhere? We're very slow, we're plodding along, nothing's changing? Well, sometimes, and I have a lot of friends going through very hard times feeling like this. I'm still supporting one of the young guys, the Bali Nine guys, who's still in prison in Bali on a life sentence. He's been there 20 years now. But they keep saying, "We're going to be able to get clemency. You're going to get your sentence reduced and overturned." And every time it's promised, nothing happens. So I spend a lot of time texting with him and trying to encourage him not to give up just because everything is slow. But we can feel like that. It never changes. I keep praying and I keep believing, but nothing happens. But God will answer, and I encourage him with that. And it is coming. I truly believe it'll be soon, actually. But anyway, this is how they were going. They were slow. "And after great difficulty, we finally reached," a very strange name, Cnidus. "But the wind was against us, so we sailed across to Crete and along the sheltered coast of the island past the Cape of Salmone. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens near the town of Lycia." That sounds like a nice place to arrive, doesn't it? Fair Havens. Sounds like a town on the coast, doesn't it? Here. Nice place. But we had lost a lot of time. I'm always reminded that our times are in God's hands. Even when we feel frustrated, maybe we feel like we've lost time, we've wasted time, or we're going too slow, or we've just done things to mess up God's plan. Our times are in his hands, the Bible says. So don't worry, he's still got it. "The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it." And I'm reminded there are times where we need to speak. And Paul spoke. That's the first time you see him speaking in this story. And my second point, my first one was keep your head. Second point, we've only got three. Second point, speak God's word. In the situation that you're in, when he gives you something to say, you say it. So this is what he said. "Men," he said, "I believe there's trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And since Fair Havens was an exposed harbour, a poor place to spend the winter, don't let the name fool you, wasn't that great a place after all, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix, farther up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there. So Phoenix was a good harbour with only a southwest and northwest exposure." Now, so Paul had a word from God. He warned them, if you keep going, if you go on now, you're going to be in trouble. And he told them exactly what was going to happen. We'll end up with shipwreck, loss of cargo, and a danger to our lives. He didn't try and sugarcoat this, but they didn't listen to him, you know? So my question to you and to me is, what do we do when we hear from God and he shows us something and people don't listen? What can you do? There's actually nothing you can do, really. When we see a potential disaster coming and people ignore what we have to say, I'm not just talking about us being worried and anxious and giving good advice. I mean, if we've heard from God and people don't listen, they think they know better, which is what happened here, and there's not much we can do. This happened to me quite a few times when I used to travel to China. I think I might have shared some of this, but I know there was one time where we were in a very remote mountain village and we'd been there sharing the gospel in the Vietnam border area. But it always rained there. There were always storms. There was always landslides. It was always dangerous. And we only had, I think, 2 days to get back to the city for me to catch my flight home. And I really felt in my heart we should leave a day earlier because we're going to get stuck. But of course, what would I know, you know? So I shared it with my friend who I travelled with and his team. And they sort of laughed, you know, no, it's all right, we've done this before. But I said, I really feel like, and I actually thought of this story. The Lord gave me this passage in my mind when I was sharing this with them, but they took no notice. So we decided to stay on as they planned. And of course, the next day, the road was completely blocked by a landslide. We were really stuck. We had to find other ways through. And we ended up, thank God, I still made it in time, but it was very stressful and it was horrible. The roads were very dangerous, and if we just waited and gone, or not waited, but gone earlier, we would have been fine, you know. But people don't always want to hear what you have to say. And another time was the story I'm sure I've told you, when one of the guys decided to take a shortcut through the jungle to a village we were going to instead of sticking to the road. And as soon as he veered off into the jungle, not on any road or track, I knew this shortcut is not going to be quicker. It's going to take longer. And we literally were stuck. Really, our car got stuck, got bogged, and we were stuck for hours until late into the night, until some random person turned up with a four-wheel drive and pulled us out in the middle of nowhere with no phone reception. And I really had to work hard to keep my head because I was not happy. But I knew as soon as he did it. But, you know, you can't always make people do what you want. So I've had those experiences, but I've also had them closer to home with people that I've counselled and helped. And you can see potential disaster coming when people take a certain track. And no matter what you say, they don't always want to hear you. Not to start with, anyway. We'll see what happens. So we're going back to this passage, verse 13. So when a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly. Things can change. They can escalate quickly when you're on this journey of life, can't they? And a wind of a typhoon strength, they had a light wind that suddenly became a typhoon, called a northeaster, burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. And I can only imagine how dangerous this was for these people. Just shocking, isn't it? And we sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Cowder, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. These were not ships like we have today, you know. Wooden boats, I guess, you know. I've seen pictures, but drawings. They were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of Syrtis off the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. That was the beginning. Let's get rid of the food. Let's get rid of the equipment. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. People will start to offload stuff when they're in trouble. You know, there's a bit of a parable there. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. Have you ever been in that situation where all hope is gone? I have actually in my life over different times and seasons where I felt like I don't know how this is ever going to change. I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this or get out of this. But if we feel like that, can you still keep your head? For Paul, he had to keep his head in that situation as a prisoner with all these other people around him. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete." In other words, "I told you so." Oh. "You would have avoided all this damage and loss, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down." He heard from God again. "None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. And what's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, and it will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island.'" He told them the whole picture. God showed him everything that was going to happen. And you know, sometimes people have to come to the end of their resources where all hope is gone before they will actually listen. Because this time, they listened. They realised Paul was not just some person with an opinion, with a good idea, but the thing that made them also able to hear waiting for the battery. Ah, I'm on. The thing that really struck me about this was when they didn't listen to him the first time, Paul could have become very offended because they ignored him. And not only did they get into trouble, he got into trouble through no fault of his own when he had the solution and the answer. But because he kept his head in that situation, he also guarded his heart. That's my third point. Guard your heart. Because it's not just what you know in your head that matters, it's what you do in your heart that matters in every situation. And instead of getting offended, he was able to pray for this whole situation and hear from God and get the promise from God that he was, because of him, they were all going to be saved. It was really because of him. And you'll see more about that in a minute. So in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Guard your heart above all else because it determines the course of your life." And this is the third point. So you keep your head, you speak the word, but you guard your heart. And one of the things God's really been speaking to me about in this season that I'm in right now is that I must guard against offences, becoming offended. Because when you become offended, you are robbed of your authority. You will no longer hear clearly from God. You'll start to be all muddled because you've got all this stuff going on in your mind and your heart. And we can no longer become the solution. We become part of the problem. It's so powerful. He's been really dealing with me because I've had so many reasons to be offended in the last year or so. People that I've helped that have turned on me, accused me of all sorts of manipulation and, you know, "You're just doing this to try and trick me, you know, you don't really care about me, you're just trying to get me to church," or, you know, some stupid thing. But we have to guard our heart, because if I can't keep loving that person, I can't pray for them. If I don't forgive, I can't pray. I can no longer have the authority to hear from God and speak his word. So guard your heart. The enemy will do everything he can to try and rob you of your power and your authority in Jesus' name. And one way he'll do it is to mess up your head, but the other way is to mess up your heart, you know. So in that situation, Paul still had the authority. He still heard from God. And the thing that really just blessed me so much about this story, that even in that life-threatening storm, as a prisoner in chains, in a shipwreck, Paul was still the apostle. Do you know, sometimes we think we can only have ministry if I'm in a church, on a platform, you know, in a meeting, a lovely place with beautiful music, nice people. He was an apostle. Once and for all, he was called an apostle. He never stopped being an apostle. He was an apostle on death row. He was an apostle, and he was an ambassador of Christ. And it's no different for me or you. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we are what God has called us to be. And we are going to find ourselves in very hard situations in the future. I'm telling you this from the Lord, where we are the only one that can bring hope, that can bring direction, clarity, truth to situations and to people. And if we keep our head, guard our heart, we will be able to speak into that situation and see other people saved and ourselves. Even if we die, who cares? I'm happy. I'm going to be with Jesus. But we can save people's lives, you know, really. But we must guard our heart and our mind. And he gave them courage. He said, be encouraged. Take courage. He was actually in charge on that ship. Do you know that whatever situation you find yourself in, you're actually God's secret weapon. You're his ambassador. You represent the kingdom of God. You don't belong to the kingdom of this world. Even if it's with your family and there's stuff going on that's been going on for a long time, you are the one that has the authority. You are the one. You might not even have to say much. You can just pray. You can just stand. But you have the power to turn the situation around if you keep your head and you guard your heart. So going back to the story, we're nearly finished with the story. About midnight on the 14th night of the storm, 14 nights of this storm, I can't imagine how high those waves were, how dark and horrible and horrendous that was. I wouldn't have liked to have been there. As we were being driven across the Sea of Adria, the sailors sensed that land was near. They dropped a weighted line and found that the water was 120 feet deep, but a little later they measured it again and found it was only 90 feet deep. At this rate, they were afraid we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore because they couldn't actually see. And they didn't have all the instruments and things we have these days. So they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship and prayed for daylight. The sailors started praying. Ooh, there's a bit of a breakthrough. I don't think they'd been praying till now. This time they listened and did what Paul said. Just as the day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. You've been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks, he said. Please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair of your head will perish. It takes a lot of faith to speak that word in a situation that looks so impossible. There's no natural reason for him to say that. It looks like they're all going to die. But he said, not a hair of your head will perish. Then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them all, and broke off a piece and ate it. And then everyone was encouraged and began to eat. All 276 of us who were on board. There's a lot of people there. That's how many people he was dealing with. After eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. When morning dawned, they didn't recognise the coastline, but they saw a bay with a beach and wondered if they could get to shore by running the ship aground. So they cut off the anchors and left them in the sea. Then they lowered the rudders, raised the foresail and headed towards shore. But they hit a shoal and ran the ship aground too soon. The bow of the ship stuck fast and the stern was completely smashed by the force of the waves and began to break apart. Sometimes every secure thing in our lives begins to break apart. I've been there. When suddenly everything you trusted in, that was your security, is gone. Like nothing. But God never changes. And I remember when I went through a time like that in my own life about more than 20 years ago, God said to me, now will you still trust me? And that's when we find out who he is. We never find out who God is when everything's going well, you know. It's great when things are going well, but when we're really at the end and everything is smashed apart, the whole ship's broken up, and there they are with just a few planks to hang on to, that's when you find out who God is, because you don't have anyone else. And he's never, ever, ever let me down. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure they didn't swim ashore and escape. Oh, my goodness. Just a little bit more drama, you know. You've had this word of encouragement for us, Paul. You've been the one to help us here now that we're listening to you. Now we're going to kill you. Because he was one of the prisoners. He was the most important prisoner. They didn't want him to escape. But the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul, so he didn't let them carry out their plan. So even then, it was Paul that caused that situation to turn around. If he hadn't been on the ship, they might have killed them all the prisoners. Then he ordered all who could swim to jump overboard first and make for land, and the others held on to planks or debris from the broken ship, so everyone escaped safely to shore. Whoa, that was quite a journey, wasn't it? I'm not really a sea water person at all. I can't even swim. I can't even imagine being in that situation. But these people, what they went through for weeks, and Paul just stood his ground, or sat his ground, in the middle of that situation and continued to hear from God, continued to encourage them, didn't lose his mind, didn't tear his hair out. He just kept his heart right and he kept speaking the word of God. And he changed that whole situation. And then if you read the next chapter of Acts 28, it's just amazing stuff that happens. But, you know, Paul had favour with God. And because he kept his head, kept his mind together, focused on Jesus and guarded his heart, he saved those guys. He saved all of them. They didn't save the ship, but what's a ship? You can get another ship. You can't get another life. It's more important that we save lives than hang on to ships or anything else like that, you know. Sometimes we're so busy trying to protect our stuff that we forget that it's actually people that matter more. And so if we lose a bit of stuff along this journey of life, who cares? You can't take it with you. That's awesome, isn't it? God's got more in store for us than we can ever imagine. Riches in heaven. So there are going to be difficult times in our lives. But if we keep it together in the way that I've been describing, we will give courage to the people around us that are going through stuff, you know. Whether you are in a storm that somebody else created, or it's just part of what's happening in the country or in the world, or maybe you did something that created a storm, you can still turn to Jesus and he will see you through it. You know, we create our own storms sometimes, don't we? And I know that I've done that at times, but it's never too late to turn to Jesus and grab hold of him and trust him, and he will get you through it. And we can continue to minister to others and be who we're called to be no matter where we find ourselves. Like even Jesus hanging on the cross, about to die after suffering horrendously, ministered to the thief next to him, ministered to his mother. He forgave the people who did it to him. What a great, amazing God. You know, we have that same spirit in us where we can be a blessing even when we're being tossed around and about to be shipwrecked. We can still be a blessing. And I think this is one of the things that's going to set us apart and set this church apart from the rest of the community, is if we hang on to this and remember this when stuff happens. You know, you'll know what to do. I've told you today what to do. He's told me what to do. Yeah. So Paul did this, you know, and he was the apostle. He was the leader. He was the ambassador for Jesus. We're not just here for ourselves hoping to survive. We're here to change the lives of others. And in my own personal life, I've had a lot of challenges and stuff go on, but I've never seen so many people come to the Lord personally as I am seeing right now. I'm seeing people coming into my teaching group, particularly in rehab, who have never had anything to do with God, don't know anything about the Bible, and slowly getting their eyes open to the truth and coming to Jesus and just waking, like you can see the light switch on. So powerful. It's the most awesome thing in the whole world to see someone come to Jesus. There's nothing worth more than that, is there? It's so wonderful. I wouldn't swap it for anything. I'm in the best place I've ever been right now. I love this. I love to see this happen. And it's giving me faith to believe that anyone can come to the Lord. And he'll show you how to reach them, you know. We're not here to judge people or to condemn them. We're here to be Jesus in that situation with the word of God in our mouth. That's our work. And we have to do it in season and out of season. In season might be, you know, in the synagogue, in the temple. Out of season is in the shipwreck, right? While you're in prison, chained to a guard, being beaten. That's what Paul went through. Do you know he had 3 shipwrecks in his ministry? You should read the list. I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 where he talks about all the things he went through. He was beaten to within an inch of his life several times. He went through so much, But he never stopped being the man of God that God called him to be. That's why he's my hero. So the reason we do this is because we proclaim Jesus. And I'm going to finish with two scriptures. One is Colossians 1, 28 and 29, which will come up on the screen. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend. I labour, it says in some versions, with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. It's a labour, it's a work to reach people, to teach people, to talk with them, to share with them, to love them, to keep going. But it's worth it because we're doing it to see people come to maturity in Christ. And I'm starting to see that with people that you would never imagine could ever be that way from the background they've come from. God has never given up on anyone. And in 1 Corinthians 16, the last scripture, 13 and 14, it says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. And I know that that's what you do in this church. You know, I know that. I'm not preaching a message that you don't already practice, really, because I've seen you're a faith-filled church who perseveres and helps people who really need help, but also speaks the truth. That's so powerful, because a lot of people want to help people, but they're too scared to speak the truth. And I think that is where we sometimes miss it, you know. So my final slide will give you the summary. It's up there. This is what I want you to remember from anything that I've said. A long story I read to you, but it was a good one. Keep your head. Don't lose it. Speak God's word, not just from your own strength, but with the anointing on your life, the authority of the word of God. In the name of Jesus, you can speak his word and guard your heart. If you do that, you'll see miracles happening in your life. I really believe that, just as Paul did. So we're going to pray just to finish here. And if you want to respond to this in any way, I'd like you to respond to those three points, you know. Maybe you need just to pray that God will help you to keep your head, not lose your mind and get all frazzled in the situation that you find yourself in. Or to guard your heart, which is even greater thing sometimes, you know, to deal with the attitudes that get in, to try and destroy your peace and to turn you against people. Or you might need the boldness to speak the word of God. But if we can pray, I'll pray that over all of you. If anyone wants particular prayer after that, we can do that. But that's really what I'm asking you to respond to, you know. Because if you do those things, everything else will be sorted out. Actually, you don't need anything else. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, which is so powerful, that creates faith in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us instructions through your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, who lived a very, very challenging life for you and gave his life for the gospel. But Lord, he taught us some of these things that we're talking about right now. So Lord, I pray that we will take this on board, that we will believe this and practice it, that we will be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We will keep our mind fixed on you. We thank you for the helmet of salvation that covers our mind, that you've given us an armour to protect us when thoughts come to try and destroy us. We take that on board today. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the breastplate of righteousness to cover our heart. We can guard our hearts, Lord, and we can be protected from offences and bad attitudes. Lord, we take that on board today. And we take on the belt of truth, Lord, that holds it all together. We speak the truth in love, but we speak the truth. And we know that as we do that, Lord, you will be the one who does.